This is lesson HBS 138, and this is Gifts and Ministries in the Body, Part 6. God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now that's the purpose of why we're studying these gifts, because these gifts are gifts given to the body of Christ, and God doesn't want us to be ignorant about them. Now what are these nine gifts? Well, it tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy." Now, prophecy is the one we're going to be talking about in this lesson. "To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues." So, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. And the gift that we're talking about today is the gift of prophecy. Now, let's just take a minute and kind of go back and recap why we're doing what we're doing. We've been going at this quite a while. We started, really, these lesson series way back with Jesus, our example. Then we went on to a new series called The Body of Christ. And then we discussed how all the body of Christ is called and expected to bear fruit. And then we went on to gifts and ministries, since some of this fruit bearing will be through gifts and ministries in the body of Christ. So that's why we're studying gifts and ministries right now. Now, just now we're studying the gifts of the Spirit because some of you Spirit-filled believers will be used in these gifts. So you need to know what they are and how they're used. And especially what we're talking about today, the gift of prophecy, because this gift is the greatest gift that says something. Remember, we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, how some of them say something, how some of them do something, and how some of them reveal something. This is the greatest gift that says something. We'll find that out in today's lesson. So then, what is prophecy? Now, there's a lot of confusion here, and we'll find out that this is the only gift of the Spirit that every Spirit-filled believer may be used in. It's going to be manifested if the Spirit wills, of course, but every Spirit-filled believer can be used in this gift if they so choose. So let's take our time and go through the scriptures that discuss and reveal to us what this gift is. Okay, let's start in now and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture today because there's a lot of confusion, as I say, about this gift, and I want to explain it as well as I possibly can. So let's first of all go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and we'll start reading there. Let's read the first five verses, I guess. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "Follow after charity," and which means love, agape love. Let me just substitute love in for that because it's more clear with that, I think, if I read it that way, because that's what it is. "Follow after agape," or love, "and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy." And that's what we're talking about today, is the gift of prophecy. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." That would be like prayer tongues, when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and God gave you your special prayer language. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men," that's just between you and God, "but unto God. For no man understands him," because he's speaking in a foreign tongue, of course. "Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." In other words, divine secrets with your Father, just between you and him. Verse 3, "But he that prophesieth," that's what we're talking about today, "speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." Now, this is a crucial scripture in what we're going to be discussing today. This really defines what the simple gift of prophecy is. It speaks to edification and exhortation, and to comfort. Now, we're going to define these later, but I just want to right now tell you this is what the simple gift of prophecy that we're going to be discussing today is all about. It edifies, it exhorts, and it comforts. Now, let's go on, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that would be our prayer tongues, edifieth himself. In other words, builds himself up. We all know that if we prayed in spirit a lot, that when you're done praying in the spirit, you feel built up inside. You feel spiritually attuned. You feel charged spiritually. Okay? So it is saying right here that he that speaketh in his unknown prayer tongue builds up himself. We know that if you've done that much. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So there's the big difference between prayer tongues and the simple gift of prophecy. When you pray in the spirit, in your prayer tongue, you build up yourself. When you prophesy, now that's a public thing, you edify and build up the church or the body of Christ. Okay, so that's an important difference. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 5, I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. Now there's confusion in this scripture, so let me explain it closely. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, let me explain this, because a lot of people have gotten confused by this verse, I think. Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I would, in other words, he'd choose, or rather, that they all spoke with tongues. That would be our prayer tongues. But better than that would be if they prophesied. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Why? Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, the point of this verse is that the church receive edifying. In other words, when we speak with our prayer tongues, we're edified. But he that prophesieth, the whole church or the whole people that hear him are built up or edified. You see the difference? In other words, it's better in the sense that more people are helped. When we pray in our prayer language just to ourselves, we're helped, we're edified, but it's better that when more people are edified. Now, that's not to eliminate our praying in the spirit or praying in tongues. That's not what it means at all. It simply means when we prophesy, more people than just ourselves are edified. So let me read it again with that thought. I would that you all spake with tongues. That's fine. All of us speaking in prayer tongues. He wished that we all did. In other words, he wished that we were all filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues. For all of us that are filled with the Spirit do speak with tongues, okay? But all the body of Christ isn't filled with the Spirit, are they? Some people haven't received this truth. Some people aren't taught that this truth is for today or whatever. For whatever reason, all believers don't speak with prayer tongues because all aren't filled with the Spirit, even though they could be, if they knew about it and desired it, okay? So he said, I wish that everybody spoke with tongues, all the body of Christ. But rather that you prophesied. Even better than speaking in your prayer tongue is prophesying. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Now here's the reason. Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. What he's saying here is it's greater than speaking in prayer tongues to prophesy, because the whole church benefits. And he's also saying that interpretation of tongues is equivalent to prophecy, because the church, again, receives edifying. Now, what we're going to find out here, and I'm not trying to confuse you or anything, is that prophesying, the simple gift of prophecy, is equivalent, really, to tongues plus interpretation of tongues. Those are the three gifts that say something. Remember, we have the gift of prophecy, that says something. We have the gift of diverse tongues, which says something. And we have the gift of interpretation, that says something. Now, the fact is that the simple gift of prophecy is really equivalent to the gift of diverse tongues plus interpretation of tongues. Because when you have diverse tongues plus interpretation of tongues, that is equivalent to prophecy. Okay, now that's going to be carried throughout our teaching today, all right? So we really have three things here. We have the simple gift of tongues, which is our prayer tongues, which every spirit-filled believer does or can do, okay, anytime they want. Then we have the simple gift of prophecy. And then we have the equivalent gift of prophecy of diverse tongues plus interpretation of tongues. Now, do you see those three things are separate things? Let me say it again. We have the gift of prayer tongues, which every spirit believer has, all right? That's a gift between you and God, all right? As we said in the first few verses of this chapter. Okay, that's the gift of prayer tongues. That's number one. Number two, we have the gift of prophecy, which is speaking to men, the body of Christ, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Then we have the combination gift of diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, which is equivalent to prophecy, which also speaks when both of them are used together to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So we have three different things there. Simple gift of tongues that comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's between you and your Heavenly Father. That's not a public gift. We have the public gift of prophecy, which is speaks to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And number three, we have the gift of diverse tongues plus interpretation of tongues, which also is speaks to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And these last two are public gifts. And the first one is a private gift when you pray between your Heavenly Father and yourself. I hope that's clear now. So Paul is saying in verse 5, he would that we all spake with tongues, but rather that we prophesy. Why? Because prophecy is greater than simply speaking in tongues to yourself, because more people are edified than just yourself. He says, except that he interprets, because the gift of public tongues and interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. Okay? That the church may receive edifying. So what is prophecy then? Let's define it. Prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy, is one of the gifts that says something along with diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, okay? And it's defined in 1 Corinthians 14:3, and it says it's a supernatural utterance from a spirit-filled believer instigated by the Spirit of God as he wills to bring edification, exhortation, or comfort to a person or group of people, all right? That's what it is. Let me say this one more time. Prophecy, then, is a supernatural utterance from a spirit-filled believer instigated by the Spirit as he wills to bring edification, exhortation, or comfort to a person or group of people. That's what it is. All right, now, let's talk about these three things that the gift of prophecy will do. First of all, edification. What is it? Edification means to build up. That's what the Greek word that is here in the New Testament for edification means. To build up. It also means to charge, like in a battery. To charge people. I think it's most easily understood if you think about what praying in tongues does for you when you do it between yourself and your Heavenly Father. If you have prayed in tongues a lot, you know that when you pray in tongues, it charges you spiritually. It builds you up. For example, when I pray in tongues, and I pray in tongues quite a bit, just the private gift of tongues, prayer tongues, it builds me up spiritually. That is, after I've prayed in tongues for a period of time, I am charged up spiritually. I am in a higher plane of spiritual, being tuned in spiritually than otherwise. Well, when the simple gift of prophecy is used, the people that hear this will be charged like a battery, charged up spiritually like you are when you pray in tongues between you and your Heavenly Father for a period. It will charge the group up. It will build them up so that when this prophecy goes forth, they will feel built up spiritually. They'll feel charged up spiritually. And you might say charged up to the extent that there's a lingering beneficial spiritual effect for the person or group that is edified or charged up spiritually. Similar to what we obtain individually when we pray in tongues. So first, this, when the gift of prophecy is used, it will charge up the group spiritually. It will build them up spiritually. It will edify them spiritually. This edification, this building up, this charging all means the same thing. You will come away from this when this gift of prophecy is used, charged up, built up spiritually with a lingering beneficial spiritual effect for the person or group that receives this prophecy. That's the best way I can explain it. It's similar to when you pray in the Spirit for a long period of time. You come away built up, charged up. Well, so too will the group come away charged and built up when they receive a prophetic utterance from someone exercising this gift of prophecy. This group will come away with that feeling. They'll either be edified, or they'll be exhorted or comforted, or maybe all three, by this act or this simple gift of prophecy. So that's an explanation of what it means to be edified. They could also be exhorted. Now, exhortation means, in the Greek, a call to come near, or a call to come near to God's side. What does that mean? It's an utterance that appeals or entreats or encourages the listeners to come higher or to come closer to God. Remember in James chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Well, this simple gift of prophecy will exhort people to come closer to God. You remember in Matthew 11:27, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This exhortation that the gift of prophecy will do is a come unto me call from the Spirit of God for us to come closer to God. And when we do, all us that labor and heavy laden will be encouraged, will be given rest, is another way of looking at it. So it's a call to come closer to God, to come higher, to come near to God. So the message that comes through prophecy will be a message of edification that we just talked about, that will build up, will charge us up spiritually. It will be a message that calls us near to his side, that calls us closer to God, entreats or encourages us to come higher or to come closer to God, similar to what it says here in Matthew 11:28, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There will be a element of rest that we'll get when we hear this prophetic utterance. So that's what the exhortation side to this gift would be. And also, it will in some cases, give us comfort. What do we mean by comfort? Comfort in the Greek means to speak closely to those present with words of consolation and comfort. And it will be with a greater degree of tenderness than exhortation will be when it comforts. There is an element of comfort in exhortation as well, but this will be to a greater degree, this comfort. It will be with a greater degree of tenderness than exhortation was. And so this gift then, the purpose of New Testament prophecy, will speak unto men either to or including edification, exhortation, or comfort, or all three together. In other words, this gift will build us up, charge us spiritually, call us near to his side, encourage us to come higher or to come closer to God, and will comfort those with a great degree of tenderness. Now, that's the best way I can explain it. All of those things together, or it could be just one of those things. But it will be something that the body of Christ, the listeners, will come away built up, charged up, encouraged, called near to his side, or comforted with a great degree of tenderness. This Bible definition I've just given you is going to eliminate a lot of so-called prophecy. Now, the one thing to remember is God is love, and Jesus is his image on earth, as John 14:9 tells us. Remember in John 14:9, Jesus said, Have I been so long a time with you, and has you not known me, Philip? Now listen, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now what I'm going to point out here is that those that saw Jesus' ministry on earth really saw the Father in action, because in verse 10 Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So whatever we saw Jesus do on the earth was the Father working through him. Now the thing to remember is, when you hear prophecy, it should be something that Jesus would have said, or something Jesus would have done on the earth. In other words, what would Jesus have said on earth to his disciples? What would he have said to the people? Would he have been harsh or condemning? No. Jesus would never do that to his people. So one of the things to remember when we hear prophecy is to remember that God is love and Jesus was his image on earth. So simple prophecy will never be harsh and condemning to the body. Jesus was never harsh or condemning to his disciples. And since God was working through him, God was never harsh or condemning, nor will he be. It will always edify, exhort, or comfort. Now we need to keep this in mind, because if we hear this gift in operation, it will never be harsh and condemning. It will always build up, it will always encourage, it will always exhort, and it will always comfort those who hear it. So that's something to keep in mind. I have heard so-called prophecies that were harsh, that condemned the believers that were listening. And folks, that is not this gift in operation. The reason I'm spending a little time on what this gift is not, and I will talk about it a little bit more later, is that some people that have been used in this gift to edify, exhort, and give comfort to the church have gotten the idea that since they're used in this gift, they can use it whenever they want to. And that's not the case, folks. It always has to be as the Spirit wills. There should be an unction deep in your spirit that you're to speak this word. And this word that will come forth, if it's from the Holy Spirit, will be words of edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body of Christ. It will never condemn or be harsh. But the problem is, sometimes, is people that have been used in this gift will try to operate this gift on their own. And that's where trouble starts. And that's where prophecies, so-called prophecies, go forth that don't really edify, exhort, or comfort. They bring harsh condemnation to the body or correction. Maybe this person sees something they feel needs correction in the group or something like that, and then they just decide to bring this forth. And sometimes they really think that it's God speaking through them. That's why God gave us these guidelines here, so that we could distinguish what truly comes from him and what doesn't. If it comes forth as harsh or condemning, it's not from God. It doesn't exhort. It doesn't edify. It doesn't comfort anybody. And so that's not the true gift of prophecy. That's not being used then as the Spirit wills, if it's harsh or brings condemning word to the group. But unfortunately, we're not perfect. And some people that maybe sometimes are rightly using this gift sometimes kind of get on their own, and they bring forth a word that is really not instigated by the Spirit of God. It just comes out of their own heart or their own mind, really. And so they try to bring correction to the group. Possibly they see something they don't think is quite right, or something that's not that needs fixing. And so they come up with a so-called prophecy that kind of just falls flat. And that's why God gave you the witness of God in your own spirit, the inner witness, so that you could distinguish these so-called prophecies that really aren't from God. And so we need to be careful with this gift, because it's a gift that says something, and it can really be misused if we're not careful, because we can all say something at any time we please. The whole purpose of the gift is to say what God wants spoken at the time God wants it spoken, not just any time we think that the group needs to be instructed in something. And if we've been in a group of settings very often where the gifts of Spirit are in operation, I think we've probably all seen cases where the person maybe gets a little lifted up in pride, or they get a little misdirected, and they're trying to bring some form of correction or something to the group, and they get caught up in their own words, and it isn't from God, and it just kind of falls flat, and everyone just kind of goes away thinking, well, that wasn't from God. And it kind of gives prophecy a bad name. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, it says to despise not prophesying. Because when these gifts are misused, sometimes we can also almost get to the point where we just kind of turn our back on prophecy and say, you know, it's just all used wrongly, and we get kind of turned off, so to speak, toward this gift. Now, we shouldn't do that, because it says, despise not prophesying, but let all things be done decently and in order. The whole purpose of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 is so that we operate these gifts decently and in order. And that's why God is bringing forth this instruction to us today, so that we can discern how to operate these gifts as the Spirit would have us operate them. And so I just wanted to spend a few minutes saying what this gift was. It edifies, builds up, exhorts, and comforts. If it doesn't do that, folks, don't receive it, because it's not the simple gift of prophecy. All right, now let's talk about some facts about the gift of prophecy, some Bible facts. First of all, the gift of prophecy, the simple gift of prophecy we're talking about here in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, gift of prophecy being one of them, is the greatest gift that says something. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, 5, and 39. Verse 1. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or especially, that ye may prophesy. Verse 5. Now I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that he prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, I brought those three verses together to show you that the gift of prophecy is the greatest of the three gifts that say something. Now remember, these three gifts are the gift of prophecy, the gift of diverse tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. And diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues go together. And when used together, they are equivalent to the gift of prophecy. Let me explain that a little bit. The gift of prophecy is a word from the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit wills, that edifies, exhorts, or comforts the body of Christ. Now, we're going to find out in a couple of lessons we're going to do in the future here on diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, that gift in combination is really the same as the simple gift of prophecy. In other words, diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues taken together will also edify, exhort, and comfort. So knowing that, let's go back now and read these three verses one more time. Verse 1 in chapter 14. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or especially, that ye may prophesy. Verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, unless he interprets, so the church may receive edifying. And finally, in verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. So based on these three gifts, we can see that prophecy is the greatest of the three gifts that say something. So prophecy would be greater than public tongues unless he interprets. In other words, just speaking in tongues publicly won't do anything for the group, will it? They will be confused unless there's an interpretation. So if there is an interpretation, then the gifts of tongues and interpretation would be equivalent to the gift of prophecy. So that's the first thing about the gift of prophecy. It's the greatest gift that says something. Number two, here's another fact about the gift of prophecy. more people will likely see this gift in operation than any other gift, with the possible exception of diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, which really amounts to the same thing. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2 to see this point. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Peter, speaking here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "And it shall come to pass," and he's quoting the book of Joel, "and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Now, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're part of that all flesh. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." It's mentioned twice in these verses that one of the outstanding characteristics of the gifts of the Spirit will be that people will prophesy when the Spirit is poured out in the last days. And that happened in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, at the first group of believers that were baptized in the Holy Ghost. All right? And so one of the outstanding characteristics of those who have been filled with the Holy Ghost is that they shall prophesy. So more people will likely see this gift in operation than any other gift, with the exception, as I say, of diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, which is really the same thing, than any other gift, because it is a hallmark of being filled with the Spirit. In other words, everyone will be able to prophesy if they so desire. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. This gift must be coveted. It must be desired for it to manifest itself in your life in a public setting. My point is here that more people will probably see this gift in operation than any other, simply because, as it says here in Acts chapter 2, that one of the hallmarks of this gift is that people shall, that have this gift, shall prophesy. All right? And we'll find out later in this lesson that all who desire or covet this gift may prophesy. All right. Number three, another fact about the gift of prophecy is that the gift of prophecy takes more faith to operate than either diverse tongues or interpretation of tongues by themselves. Now, why is this? Well, let me try to explain this a little bit. When you prophesy, it takes faith to operate in that you must have enough faith to believe that the stirring in your spirit is the Holy Ghost, and that he wants you to speak forth this word of edification, exhortation, or comfort to a group of people. Now, the reason it takes a little more faith than the other gifts is that you must speak out on your own. You must realize that the Holy Spirit is in you, and he wants you to speak out in this gift, and you must not only speak out, it takes faith to speak out when this stirring of to speak out starts inside. In other words, you can quench this gift if you want to. You shouldn't, but it can be done. You can say, no, I'm not sure that this is the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say anything. Okay, so it takes a little faith to use these gifts, and it takes a little more faith than either the simple gift of diverse tongues or interpretation of tongues, simply because you have to start this gift, and you have to respond to the Holy Spirit and give the full meaning of what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to the group, to edify it, to exhort it, and to comfort it. Whereas in the gift of diverse tongues, all you have to really do is speak out in tongues. You don't have to come forth with the meaning of what this speaking forth means. You understand what I'm saying? In the gift of prophecy, you not only have to speak forth, you have to speak forth the meaning. In the gift of diverse tongues, you just have to speak forth in tongues. You don't have to give the meaning. And similarly, the person who has the interpretation of tongues simply has to give the meaning. They don't have to start the gift. In other words, speak out first. Someone speaks out first in tongues, and then the ice is broken, so to speak, and then they just give the meaning. They don't have to start off in faith with the gift. So, The gift of prophecy takes a little more faith. You have to start off and boldly step forth, and where there may have been silence, and come forth with a prophecy that not only speaks forth into this silence, but also says what the Holy Spirit wants you to say to the group. Whereas diverse tongues simply speaks forth and does not give forth a meaning. And interpretation of tongues doesn't break the ice, so to speak. It's already been broken by the diverse tongues, and it simply gives the interpretation, if you see what I mean. So it takes a little more faith to speak forth the gift of prophecy, because you're not only speaking forth, you're also giving the meaning. Where diverse tongues just speaks forth without the meaning, and interpretation of tongues simply comes in there then and interprets what's already been spoken. So it takes a little more faith to operate the gift of prophecy than it does to operate in either diverse tongues or interpretation of tongues, which taken together really are the same as the gift of prophecy. So really the diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues added together gives prophecy, but since neither one of them does the full thing, the full gift of prophecy, the gift of prophecy takes a little more faith. Another point about the gift of prophecy is, I'd like to bring out, is what the gift of prophecy isn't, based upon our definition. Remember, our definition is that the simple gift of prophecy will either edify, exhort, or comfort, or any combination of those three. So what isn't the gift of prophecy? Sometimes we understand a little bit more about what something is if we say what it isn't or is not. Well, first of all, the simple gift of prophecy is not the prophet's ministry. Now, the prophet's ministry is a full-time ministry. It's not the simple gift of prophecy. The prophet will foretell things. He can foretell the future. Not himself, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whereas in the simple gift of prophecy, there is no foretelling. There's no prediction of the future in the simple gift of prophecy. But the prophet's ministry can do that. But the prophet's ministry is not the simple gift of prophecy being discussed here in the gifts of prophecy. I think if we open our Bible to Acts chapter 21, we can see a little bit about the difference between the simple gift of prophecy and the prophet's ministry. Let's open up here to Acts 21, verse 8, and we'll read down through verse 11. Verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. Now, if you go back earlier in the book of Acts, you can see that Philip was one of the seven chosen to serve tables. Stephen was another one that was the martyr. Stephen was another one that was chosen to serve tables. They went into Philip the evangelist's house, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man, Philip, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. So we're going to distinguish here between these four daughters of Philip, which prophesied, and this prophet, which came down, named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So this prophet that came down, Agabus, foretold something, didn't he? That's what prophets do. That's part of their ministry. He foretold that Paul was going to be taken prisoner in Jerusalem and delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. But notice that there were the four daughters of Philip didn't do that. There had to be a prophet that came down named Agabus to foretell this future event. But these daughters of Philip prophesied. But God didn't use them, did he, to foretell a future event. He used a prophet. This just nails down the fact that the simple gift of prophecy does not foretell anything. It simply edifies, exhorts, and comforted. And if God wanted to bring forth a word of edification, exhortation, or comfort to the group, he could have used any one or all four of these daughters of Philip, which were used on occasion in the simple gift of prophecy. But God wanted to bring forth something a little bit more to this group. He wanted to tell them of a future event was going to take place. And in order to do that, he had to bring a man named Agabus who had this prophet's ministry, who had a ministry that did foretelling or predicted the future. And to do that, he wasn't able to use any of these four daughters of Philip because they were only used in the simple gift of prophecy. He actually had to bring down a prophet, a full-time minister named Agabus, who could bring forth this word of foretelling what was going to happen to Paul in the future. And for that, he needed a full-time prophetic minister called a prophet named Agabus in this case. So I think this is a nice little combination of verses here that gives us a distinction of what the prophet's ministry does and what the simple gift of prophecy doesn't do. For if the simple gift of prophecy could foretell, that is, predict the future, he wouldn't have had to bring Agabus down. He could have used any of the four daughters of Philip who are used in the simple gift of prophecy. So number one, the simple gift of prophecy isn't the prophet's ministry. It doesn't foretell or predict an event in the future. It simply edifies, exhorts, or comforts. Now another point we could make here is God entrusts things of more import to the full-time prophet's ministry. In other words, they're used to bring forth words of more import than the simple gift of prophecy, which simply edifies, exhorts, or comforts. If there are the words, if a prophet is wrong, there's more damage to the body of Christ than if the simple gift of prophecy is wrong. Therefore, one must be called to be a prophet, whereas the simple gift of prophecy may be manifested in any spirit-filled believer if they will but covet this gift. And we'll discuss more about that later. Okay, so number one, the simple gift of prophecy is not the prophet's ministry. Number two, it does not bring personal, specific guidance or direction to the body of Christ. Now, unfortunately, this simple gift of prophecy has been used by people to try to direct people's lives, and this is wrong. Remember, go back to our definition. The gift of prophecy, this simple gift of prophecy, is to edify or build up or to charge a group. It's to exhort a group or to comfort a group. It's not used to bring forth specific personal guidance to people. It won't tell them what God wants them to do individually, all right? And if somebody does try to do this with the simple gift of prophecy, if you don't already have this already in your spirit, just forget it, okay? It's not God, all right? Now, if a prophet or someone that is actually bringing forth a word of wisdom to you or a word of knowledge, then that would be something that would be more of a personal direction or guidance. But don't even accept that if you don't already have it inside. Anything that comes to you in the form of specific word of guidance or direction will be something that you already know in your spirit, and it will simply be a confirmation. It won't be something new. If it surprises you or it's sort of called news to you when they tell you that you're supposed to do a certain thing or be guided in a certain way, forget it if you don't already have it in your spirit. This simple gift of prophecy will never provide specific guidance or direction. Only a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom could even do that. And if you don't already have it in your spirit, just forget it. All right. So number two, the simple gift of prophecy will never give you specific personal guidance. Number three, The simple gift of prophecy will never bring harsh rebuke or correction that leaves a person or group demoralized or discouraged. God will never do that. Remember, God is love. And when God brings forth this word of edification, exhortation, or comfort, it will never rebuke or correct in a way that leaves the group demoralized or discouraged. By definition, that wouldn't be edification, exhortation, or comfort, would it? If it rebuked you, corrected you, or left you demoralized or discouraged. So anything that does that, just personally reject in your mind when you hear it. That is not God. That is not the simple gift of prophecy, which will always edify, exhort, or comfort. Number four, it won't be contradictory. Now, what do I mean by contradictory? Simple gift of prophecy. In other words, what I mean it won't be contradictory is the simple gift of prophecy will never contradict another prophecy. For example, if you're in a group of people and one prophecy comes forth that seems to say one thing, and then another prophecy comes forth that seems to contradict it, that wouldn't be of the Holy Spirit, would it? Because the Holy Spirit would never contradict himself. Let me give you an example of how the gift of prophecy won't be contradictory in a little personal experience here. One time I was on my way home from work, and I noticed going by this park that it was a homeless man that was laying on the grass in the park, and I just felt like the Lord was witnessing to my spirit to provide a place for this man to spend the night. Now I'm going to skip a lot of things here because they're not necessary, but I'm just going to hit the high points here, okay? So I picked this man up, and because I thought the Lord was telling me to do that, in my car, and I took him to the Salvation Army, which I thought kept people overnight, which they didn't do. They were closed when I got there. So I couldn't let the man off there to spend the night. So to make a long story short, I took the man home with me. And this was quite a surprise, as you can imagine, to my wife when I came home with this homeless man. And so, but God had a purpose in this, but my wife wasn't really comfortable with the situation with this man she'd never met before. And so she took the children and she went to her brother's house for the evening with the children, and I kept the man in our home. Now, again, to make a long story short, the man accepted the Lord that night in our home and was born again. And the next morning, I took him down to the highway where he was hitchhiking through town. He was spending the night just laying on the grass there, and so he could continue on his way. Well, so what happened was I picked the man up, brought him to my house. In the night, he received the Lord as his Savior, and in the morning, I took him down and let him go on his way. Now, that's the background for what I'm about to tell you about this gift of prophecy never being contradictory. That week, we went to a prayer meeting, and there were two people there that were used in this simple gift of prophecy occasionally. And they brought forth prophecies that were of the right nature that did edify, encourage, or edify, exhort, and comfort. Now, during the week, my wife had talked to this woman who was used in the gift of prophecy, and I had talked to a man who was used in this gift of prophecy. Okay, and told him about this person that came to our house. Well, here's what happened. The woman got up, and she had heard my wife's side that she was a little bit frightened of this man, and she'd gone to her brother's house. So a prophecy came forth from her that night that said, not naming me in particular, but people in the group that knew about this knew who she was talking about. And she said something to the effect that we must always be careful never to endanger our family or to bring anyone into our family that would be harmful or threaten the group, and that we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not do things like this. And that was the substance of her prophecy. And this was kind of, everybody knew about the situation that she was talking about, I shouldn't have done this probably. Well, then the other man that knew about this stood up and he prophesied that, no, sometimes it's okay to bring people home if a good thing happens to the people and that they become saved or something like that, and as long as the family wasn't hurt, that would be all right, or something to that effect. It's been a long time. I kind of forget. But it was so obvious that these were contrived prophecies on both their cases that were speaking to a situation they already knew about, and they were speaking in the flesh, and they were contradictory. So one prophecy was contradicting the other. One was saying it was okay what I'd done. The other one was saying it was not okay what I'd done, and the other was saying it was okay. In either case, was it okay or not okay? The Holy Spirit had already taken care of that. The man had been received the Lord. My wife was fine about the whole thing. She came back the next day and everything was fine. And we went on as if nothing had happened. But these people took upon themselves to prophesy about this and to use their own personal knowledge of the situation to bring about judgmental prophecies. In one case, against what was done by myself, and in the other case, in favor of what I'd done by myself. In both cases, these people were wrong, simply because, number one, they were contradictory, and number two, they were speaking to a situation that they knew about beforehand. And number three, it didn't bring any edification, exhortation, or comfort, particularly to the group. So they were contradictory, and that is always wrong. The Holy Spirit will never contradict himself. All right, so that's number four. Number five, the gift of prophecy is not God literally speaking. Now, let me explain what I mean here. God is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. But we're not perfect, okay? So what comes forth from our mouths in the simple gift of prophecy is our really interpretation of an unction that God is giving us inside that he wants us to speak forth. A lot of times it's not specific words, it's more an impression or a group of words that we'll put together to say what the Holy Spirit wants spoken at that time. Now what am I saying? What I'm saying is God is perfect, the Holy Spirit is perfect, but we're not. And so what we bring forth from the Holy Spirit is the essence or interpretation of what God wants communicated to the group. But it's not God's word in the sense that the Bible is God's word. That is, word for word. Because we're imperfect channels. We're imperfect channels. If it were always God's exact words being spoken, there would be no reason to judge prophecy, would there? If it was always God's words being exactly spoken, there would be no reason for the Bible to give us instructions for its use, as we're seeing it does in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, for God would never make a mistake. So prophecy is a mixture of the divine and the human, as are all the gifts of the Spirit that say something or reveal something. So what I'm saying here is, it's not God literally speaking certain words. It's the gist or the essence of what God wants spoken. Okay, that was number five. Number six, the gift of prophecy isn't an anticipated utterance, or what you think God would say at that moment. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let's go back to our definition again. The gift of prophecy is an inspired supernatural utterance that will edify, exhort, or bring comfort to a group of people. And it's done as the Spirit wills, when He wills, as He wills, what He wills spoken. It's not anticipated by us or anything that we think God would say in a certain circumstance. For example, let's say you're in a group, it's kind of like what I described earlier, and you say, gee, this needs fixing in this group or something. And you have been used in the simple gift of prophecy before, and you come forth with what is what I would call an anticipated utterance or something you think God might say in this circumstance that's just come up. That's not the simple gift of prophecy. So it's not an anticipated utterance or what you think God would say at this particular moment or due to circumstances in someone's life, or to build up some group that you feel needs to be edified, exhorted, or comforted.
You see what I'm saying? It's only when as the Spirit wills. It's not when we think maybe a group might need to be edified, encouraged, exhorted, or comforted. You see the difference? In other words, it's as the Holy Spirit wills. It's as He manifests the gift to edify, exhort, or comfort. Not something we see and we think that needs to be, a group needs to be edified, exhorted, or comforted. You see the difference? This gift, then, will never be manifested according to our seeing a need, but it's only as the Spirit wills. Now, the reason I say this, I've seen this gift manufactured by people. When a person sort of anticipates what he thinks the Spirit would say in this situation. Now, let me give you an example of how this gift might be misused when somebody anticipates what the Spirit might say in their circumstance. And I don't want to dwell on this too long, but I think an example might help here. One time, I was involved in a situation where a person very close to me wanted to make a gift of some land so a church could build a church on it. Okay, and this person was convinced that the Lord wanted them to do this. And so they went to this pastor, and I was present, so I know exactly what happened. I was there with this person, and just the three of us went to see this pastor, and this person notified the pastor that they wished to make a gift of some property so they could build a church, which they'd been praying about having a piece of land to build a church on. And during this time, when this person was telling this pastor about this gift of land, after this person completed telling the pastor about this, a prophecy came forth from the pastor saying, "Thus saith the Spirit of God," and went on a long ramble about how this was a wonderful thing this person was doing, and how it was something that the Holy Spirit had been prompting them to do for some time, and about how the church had needed this gift, and how this person had been obedient, and was really just kind of glorifying this person for coming forth with this gift at this particular time, how it was of God, and that how they were being obedient to what the Holy Spirit wanted them to do, and all of that. Well, then this prophecy was over, and the person went away feeling good about what they'd done. Well, the point is here that this church never became built. It never happened. The person meant well that gave the property. The pastor meant well by thanking the person, but the pastor anticipated this gift. It wasn't from the Holy Spirit at all. It was just the pastor speaking out of his own spirit in a way that made it seem more important by putting it forth in a way that it was God speaking to the person that made the gift. And it was really the pastor thanking the person for making the gift and making it seem important by dragging God in and saying that God said this. Now, how do we know it wasn't God doing this? Well, for two main reasons. One, it really wasn't edification, exhortation, or comfort that was instigated by God. It was instigated by the pastor. And number two, the church was never built. The land was never used in that way. Even though this person was sincere in giving the land, the church dissolved, the church came apart, and the church was never built. So that wasn't of the Spirit of God. In this case, the pastor, a good man, who wanted to really express his appreciation to the person who made the gift, was simply thanking them in a stronger way than he was able to do by anticipating what God might want to say in this circumstance. And so he made it sound like God said it by saying, "Thus says the Spirit of God," and made it all sound formal and of God. But it wasn't of God. And so I'm just saying this gift, this simple gift of prophecy, always edifies, exhorts, and comforts, and it's never an anticipated utterance. It's only as the Spirit wills. It's never what you think God might say at this moment. So we must be careful not to anticipate the gift due to a circumstance in someone's life or to build up some group that you feel needs built up. This gift, then, will never be manifested according to your seeing a need, but only as the Spirit wills. And so, this gift can be manufactured by a person, but it's not of the Spirit of God and should never be used in this way. So I've given you some examples of what the gift is not. And I will just summarize real briefly now. It's never the prophet's ministry, which is foretelling many times. So it's never that. It's never personal specific guidance or direction. Number three, it's never harsh rebuke or correction that leaves a group demoralized or discouraged. Number four, it's never contradictory. One prophecy won't contradict another. Number five, it's not God literally speaking. It's not word for word what God would speak, but the essence of God, what God wants spoken. And number six, it's never an anticipated utterance or what you think God would say at this moment. Because that wouldn't be then as the Spirit wills, would it? It's only as the Spirit wills. So I've given you six things this gift is not. Okay, the next thing I'd like to bring out here is that we are to covet this gift. Let's go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verses 1 and 39. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather, or especially, that you may prophesy. Now let's skip down to verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. All right, and forbid not to speak with tongues. This is the only gift that tells us specifically that we're to covet. So that means that if we will covet this gift and desire this gift, God will always give this gift because He wouldn't ask us to covet something we couldn't have. Therefore, all may theoretically speak by prophecy if they first desire and then covet the gift, because all are told to covet this gift. And God wouldn't ask us to covet something and then not give that thing. So this is a gift that's available for all if we'll but desire it and covet it. What does covet mean? I think it means that we're to pray for this gift and learn what we can about it and then treat this gift with respect and abide in using the gift by the ways we just discussed. Therefore, the whole group of believers should covet this particular gift. And if the church as a whole, as a group, especially the leadership, covet this gift, it will be manifested. If they don't, as a group, or if the leadership do not covet this gift to be used in the group, then it will not be manifested. So what I'm saying here is we need some teaching about this gift. For the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never manifest this gift in a group if it's not desired by the group and especially by the leadership. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will never ask you to come forth with this gift in a group if the leadership of the group desires it not come forth, because that would create division and dissent within the group. What do I mean here? Well, what I mean here is if you've been used by this group in your church, in your local group, and it's accepted there by the leadership, you will not bring forth this gift in a group that or it's not accepted by the leadership. That is, let's say you went to a church in which the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not accepted in that group. Well, it would be improper for you to stand up in that group and prophesy. The Holy Spirit will never prompt you to prophesy with the simple gift of prophecy to bring edification, exhortation, or comfort in a group where the leadership is against the gifts of the Spirit or against the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I mean? In other words, we're to covet the gift, and the leadership could covet the gift, and then if that leadership covets the gift, it will come forth and blossom in that group of people. But if you're used in that particular group, it would be improper to go and attempt to use this gift in a group that did not accept either the baptism in the Holy Ghost or the gifts of the Spirit. You see what I mean? Okay. So we're to covet the gift, and if we desire and covet the gift, God will use us in the gift in a group where the leadership recognizes the gift, is what I'm really trying to say. Therefore, God wants all to be used in this gift so the body will be edified, exhorted, and comforted as needed. But we must desire it first and even covet it for it to be used in the group. Not for ourselves to be looked up to, but in a genuine desire to be obedient to the Spirit and to create an atmosphere for the gifts to flourish. And that's really why God has given us 1 Corinthians chapter 14, so we'll know how these gifts are to be used in a group of people. I guess what I'm trying to say is when we first spoke in tongues after we were initially filled with the Spirit, it was God really telling us that this was the start of a potential for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in your life. In other words, when you received that prayer tongues that you got at the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that was the very beginning of the potential for the nine gifts of the Spirit to operate in your life. To go on from here, then, we must exercise this first gift. It's not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, but it was the first gift that we really received, and that was the gift of prayer tongues. Again, not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit we're talking about here, but a separate gift that we were able to pray in the Holy Ghost. All right? Anytime we so desired, not just as the Spirit wills, but when we desire, we can always speak in our prayer language. But to go on from here, we must exercise this first gift on a regular basis and then desire or covet the next gifts. And that next gift would be the gift of prophecy. All right? God showed you how to start. Now keep going. The main difference between the nine gifts of the Spirit and the simple gift of prayer tongues that we got at the infilling is that praying in prayer tongues may be initiated by us anytime we want to, and is not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Spirit themselves must be initiated by the Spirit. So that's how they're different from prayer tongues. In other words, we don't covet to be a prophet, but only to prophesy by words of edification, exhortation, or comfort. One must be called to be a prophet, which is a full-time ministry, which is accompanied by other gifts as well. But we won't get into that now. We'll talk about that later in the gifts and ministries. So that's really all I had to say on this simple gift of prophecy. I hope I've made it clear. This gift has been misinterpreted by some, abused by many, not intentionally, but it's an easy gift to abuse because we start off in our own language, in our own tongue here, and sometimes we can get a little bit carried away and initiate this gift on our own. So I hope I've, in this lesson, showed you what the simple gift of prophecy is, and also what it is not, so that we can use this gift, as it says in the Word of God, decently and in order. This, then, completes the teaching I want to give on the simple gift of prophecy.
This is the homework for lesson HBS 138. First question, true or false? Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem from the power from on high. Is this true or false? Well, this was true. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the power on high, which is also called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's also called the promise of the Father. He wanted his disciples to wait before they went out and ministered to get this power that would come down from on high. And that's really what we should do today. Unfortunately, a lot of people today are going out and ministering, even though they're born again and they have the Holy Spirit, they haven't so-called waited in Jerusalem for the promise on high, and sometimes their ministries suffer because they've never received this second endowment of the Holy Spirit. Next question, true or false?
When the first 120 spoke in tongues in Jerusalem, Peter said this speaking in tongues and prophesying was that which was prophesied by Joel and was available to all flesh. Is that true or false? That is true. And again, it just confirms that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is available to all flesh. As a matter of fact, if you recall in Mark chapter 16, Jesus gave us a list of things that would happen to those who believed on him. And one of those was they would speak in other tongues. This is just another confirmation that it's God's will that all believers move on to this second experience, which is called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speak in tongues and receive this power from his Father so they can minister in the ways he's called them to do. Next question. Thus, to be used in the gift of New Testament prophecy or any of the nine gifts, you must be a blank, blank. What goes in those blanks? Well, it should be Spirit-filled. You need to be a Spirit-filled believer to be used in any of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And that's what these lessons are, as we're going over each gift or manifestation of the Spirit individually. And this lesson, of course, is on the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a blank tongue initiated by the blank as he wills. This should be an easy question, shouldn't it? The gift of prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue instigated by the Spirit as he wills. That is, even though we might be using this gift occasionally, it's only as the Spirit wills. We can't just dredge this gift up anytime we want to prophesy, obviously, from the lesson. It's something that the Holy Spirit has to give us the unction at the time he wants this gift manifested. Next question. Used properly, this gift will bring blank, blank, or blank to those who hear. What goes in these blanks? Used properly, this gift will bring edification, exhortation, or comfort to those who hear. Next question. True or false? Prophecy is the greatest gift that says something. And if so, I want the scriptures that tell us that. Well, this is true, of course. And the scriptures that tell us this are 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1, 5, and 39. Let me just read those real quickly here. This is the greatest of the gifts that say something. There's three gifts that say something, as we know, and they are prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, here's what it says in these verses. Verse 1. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that ye may prophesy. Verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And then in verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. And from those three scriptures, we can say that prophecy, then, is the greatest gift of the three gifts that say something, that says something. So that is true. And the scriptures were 1 Corinthians 14, 1, 5, and 39. Next question. We are told to blank to prophesy and to blank not to speak with blank. And then I want a scripture. Here's what goes in the blanks. We are told to covet to prophesy and to forbid not to speak with tongues. And the scripture for that we just read is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Next question. True or false? This is one gift of the Spirit that every Spirit-filled believer may be used in if they choose to, even though it will be manifested as the Spirit wills. That's true or false? Well, that's true. The gift of prophecy is one gift of the Spirit that every single Spirit-filled believer may be used in if they choose to. And, of course, it will be as the Spirit wills. You can't just start to prophesy anytime you want to, of course, but it'll be as the Spirit wills. But every Spirit-filled believer may be used in this gift if they choose to. And we covered this in the lesson where it said to covet to prophesy. And God wouldn't ask us to covet something if he wouldn't give it to us. Next question. Blank means to build up or to charge the hearers spiritually with a lingering beneficial effect similar to what we would obtain individually when we pray in tongues. What goes in that blank? Well, that would be edification. Remember, the gift of prophecy always edifies, exhorts, or comforts. And so the word that fits this definition then would be edification. Next question. Blank means to call near to his side. Hence, it is an utterance that appeals or entreats or encourages the listeners to come higher or to come closer to God. Which one of the three would go in that blank? That would be exhortation. Next question. Blank means to speak closely to those present with words of consolation and blank with a greater degree of tenderness than exhortation. What goes in those blanks? Well, that's comfort. Comfort means to speak closely to those present with words of consolation and comfort with a greater degree of tenderness than does exhortation. Next question, true or false? Any so-called prophecy using this gift should do at least one of these three things just described. Is that true or false? That is true. Any prophecy that is the simple gift of prophecy should edify, exhort, or comfort, or any combination of those three. Next question. Prophecy would have to be greater than diverse tongues, since by itself diverse tongues is an inspired utterance in a blank tongue which no one would understand. Well, I think everybody can get that. It's just one blank here. Prophecy would have to be greater than diverse tongues, since by itself diverse tongues is an inspired utterance in an unknown tongue, which no one would understand. In other words, by itself. So prophecy, you can always understand what the meaning is, where diverse tongues has to be interpreted before we understand it. And that's another gift called interpretation of tongues, when diverse tongues is interpreted. So that's why the word unknown goes in this blank. Next question, true or false? More people will likely see the gift of prophecy in operation than any other gift, with a possible exception of diverse tongues plus interpretation of tongues, which amounts to the same thing. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. More people will likely see the gift of prophecy in operation than any other gift, with the possible exception of diverse tongues plus interpretation of tongues, which is really the same thing. And how do we know that? Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it talks about the prophecy of Joel, where Joel prophesied that all flesh would prophesy. In other words, everyone that was baptized in the Holy Ghost would prophesy. And that's back in Acts chapter 2. Let me just read that. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. I'll start with verse 16. But this is that, and Peter was talking about what had just happened in Jerusalem when all these 120 were filled with the Spirit and prophesied and spoke in tongues. And then he said, after that happened, to the people that were standing there amazed, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out on those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So prophecy is a very common gift of the Spirit in which anyone that really wants to can prophesy if they'll just covet this gift. And so, because of this, more people will likely see this gift in operation than any other gift, as we talked about in this question. So that is true. Next question. The gift of prophecy always foretells or predicts something about someone or something. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that, if you've listened to the lesson closely, and you don't even have to listen closely to get this one right, that is false. The gift of prophecy never foretells or predicts anything. It's always edification, exhortation, or comfort. Talking about the simple gift of prophecy. To foretell or predict something, that would be the prophet's ministry, which is entirely different than the gift of prophecy as we discussed in the lesson. Next question. Name someone in the New Testament that was used in the gift of prophecy. Okay, well, let's talk about this for a second. We do know from Acts that the four daughters of Philip in Acts 21 were used to prophesy. We know that the 120 in Acts prophesied from what I just read a minute ago, where Peter was explaining what the people had just heard, that this was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that would happen in the latter days, that all flesh would prophesy. And they just heard these 120 standing there speaking in tongues and prophesying. And another place, I think it's Acts 19, Paul runs into some people from Ephesus, and he can tell that something's not quite right about their experience with the Lord. And he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Ghost. And when Paul heard that, he led him into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there's three instances. There's many more instances of people prophesying. It's just that it's such a common gift, and so many people did it, it's not really mentioned specifically as a separate gift many times in the New Testament. There's three times I've just given you, but it's understood this is quite a common occurrence. Now, next question. Name someone in the New Testament who was a prophet. Well, we know from what we read in our lesson that Agabus was a prophet. Remember, he prophesied that Paul was going, if he went to Jerusalem, was going to be imprisoned. And he also prophesied in Acts about a coming famine. We know from reading, if we read the book of Acts, that Paul and Barnabas were prophets. They were also apostles, but they were prophets and teachers first. We know also that Judas and Silas were prophets, and so on. All you really have to do is to go to your concordance and look up prophets, and you'll see several of these men mentioned as those who had the ministry of a prophet, which is entirely different, as we said in our lesson, than just a simple gift of prophecy, which only edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Whether someone who has a ministry of a prophet may also foretell or predict the future. Next question. Name four things that the gift of prophecy isn't. Well, we covered this in the lesson, and I gave you six things. Any four of those would be sufficient to get a correct answer here. These are some of the things a simple gift of prophecy is not. For one thing, number one, it's not the prophet's ministry. So that would be one thing the gift of prophecy isn't, is the prophet's ministry. Number two, it's not personal specific guidance or direction. Number three, it's not harsh rebuke or correction. Number four, it's never contradictory. In other words, one prophecy won't contradict another. Number five, it's not God literally speaking. God doesn't give it necessarily word by word. He will give you your understanding of what he wants spoken, and then it's up to you to speak it out. So it's not God literally speaking word for word like you'd get in the Word of God, which is the Bible. And also, number six, it isn't an anticipated utterance or what you think God might say at this particular moment to the group based on your interpretation of the situation. It's never that. It's always words of edification, exhortation, or comfort as the Spirit wills and as He gives unction to do so at the moment. And our last question is, the blank, blank, blank takes more faith to operate than blank, blank, or blank, blank, blank. Okay, what goes in those blanks? The gift of prophecy takes more faith to operate than either diverse tongues or interpretation of tongues. And I explained that at some length in the lesson, so I think you understand why that is true. And so that then completes the homework for lesson HBS 138.